It's time for this week's exam, our examination of issues in education from KBIA News. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Coming up later in the show, unaccredited schools in Kansas City and St. Louis could have a huge impact on a number of school districts in each of those metropolitan areas. We'll update you on the legal challenges to the state law that is driving these concerns and tell you more about what it means for these school districts. But first, the Missouri Senate has given first-round approval to legislation that would double the amount of time required for public school teachers to earn tenure. Marshall Griffin has some details from Jefferson City.
Currently, a teacher has to work in the same school district for 5 years to earn tenure. The bill sponsored by GOP Senator Jane Cunningham of Chesterfield would expand that requirement to 10 years.
As long as the teacher does not own their job, if you will, then they're going to be really working to prove themselves and do a good job. So it gives us 5 more years of encouraging and giving the motivation to teachers to really produce.
The bill originally sought to abolish teacher tenure, but efforts to pass it in that form failed. The 10-year tenure period was the result of a compromise brokered by the chair of the Education Committee. In Jefferson City, I'm Marshall Griffin.
The bill will need to pass one more Senate vote before it's sent to the State House. Meantime, the state Senate has not yet acted on a plan that would have allowed schools in St. Louis County to reject students attempting to transfer from St. Louis City schools. For nearly 20 years, Missouri's had a law on the books that allows students in unaccredited school districts to transfer to nearby accredited ones at the cost of the unaccredited school district. It's a policy that makes sense on the surface, but both the St. Louis and Kansas City public schools are currently without state accreditation. And as Maria Altman reports from St. Louis, the law would allow thousands of students to transfer into suburban districts at a huge cost to the urban schools.
Nearly every parent worries about whether their child is getting a good education. But it's an everyday concern for Letitia Whitfield. Her daughters, 10-year-old Kentrice and 13-year-old Kenesha, are in the St. Louis public school system, a district that lost state accreditation in 2007.
I'm always on them about their homework, do what they told at school. While you're in the classroom, pay attention to the teacher. But in the classroom with all these other kids that's doing this and doing that, and the teacher's not focusing on the kids that's disrupting the class, then how are they going to learn?
At Lionette Blow Elementary, the school where Letitia's girls attend, only about 20% of the kids met state standards in math and communication arts last year. After school in her South City home, Letitia's daughters play games while she considers their future.
If you could move your kids out of the district, would you?
Yes, I would. Instantly. In a heartbeat.
Missouri law gives families in unaccredited districts that right. But it wasn't until last year when the state Supreme Court heard the case Turner versus the District of Clayton that it became a real possibility. The High Court upheld the 1993 law, which says students in unaccredited districts can move to any accredited district in an adjoining county. The kicker? The unaccredited district must pay tuition and provide transportation.
It would be almost impossible to educate the students who remain, who don't take advantage of Turner.
That's St. Louis Public Schools Superintendent Kelvin Adams. An estimated 8,000 students would leave SLPS under the law, according to a survey done last year. That's a third of the district. What's more, Adams says SLPS would be on the hook for students who live within its borders but have never attended its schools.
So as it stands right now, a kid at a Catholic school could leave, go to Clayton, Rockwood, one of those schools that are a part of this, and we would have to find the dollars to pay for that student while we have never seen that student in our entire lives.
School administrators in St. Louis County also are worried, especially because the law does not let them limit how many students could transfer in. That survey I mentioned earlier asked St. Louis parents what districts they'd send their kids to. Clayton would get the biggest influx, then Kirkwood, Lindbergh, and the Rockwood School District. Rockwood Superintendent Bruce Borchers feels some pride that an estimated 1,700 students would choose to travel all the way out to Eureka. But he says there are practical considerations.
We'd have some room to take students, but if you start to talk about 1,700 or more, that's the thing that I think most districts are worried about is, okay, we'd have to build more facilities or our class size would have to go up.
No one is quite sure how this will play out. Meanwhile, lawmakers in Jefferson City are working on a variety of what they call Turner fixes. Don Senti, who heads up the Cooperating School Districts of Greater St. Louis, says he's beginning to doubt either the courts or the Capitol will provide relief.
I think the judge is probably hoping it will come from the legislature. But even though there have been all sorts of requests for the legislature to fix it, it's really not going very well.
Senti says bills meant to clarify the law are getting bogged down with controversial plans like school vouchers. Yet he says if the law is not changed, it will mean chaos for St. Louis County schools and bankruptcy for the city's school district. I'm Maria Altman.
A St. Louis Circuit Court heard arguments in the Turner versus the District of Clayton case last month, and there still hasn't been a verdict. The school district of Clayton argued that thousands of students from St. Louis would likely flood its district and that taxpayers would have to foot the bill. In a separate case last month, the Missouri Supreme Court did rule that the Webster Grove School District in suburban St. Louis County does not have to admit a student from St. Louis City Schools for now. There were some questions about the particular student in the case and whether she was eligible for transfer based on the schoolwork she's completed and where she lived. That case has been sent back to the trial court to sort that out. The Webster Grove School District used a number of defenses, too, including saying the transfer would violate the Hancock Amendment, which prevents unfunded mandates. The Supreme Court says the district can't use that defense because the district is not a taxpayer. And finally, we spent the last couple of weeks on exam talking with the candidates for the school board in Columbia. You probably heard this by now, but just in case, voters decided Christine King should serve her second three-year term and that Paul Cushing should join the board for the first time. Rex Cohn and Melvin Blaze came up just short in their attempts to join the board. Meantime, the school tax levy and bond issue both passed in Columbia as well. The tax levy will go toward general operating costs, and the bond issue will help build a new elementary school and go toward a plan to end the use of trailers as classrooms in Columbia Public Schools. Current member of the Columbia Board of Education, Jonathan Sessions, says the passage of both issues is likely thanks to the communication of the importance of these funding sources to the district.
As we shared our needs and shared our plan with the community, they came out in full support of this throughout the entire campaign and through this election cycle. So in my mind, I didn't have a lot of doubt.
That's this week's exam. I'm Ryan Femuliner. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can listen to this show and all our shows at kbia.org.